Is your family so busy that you sometimes forget to have fun? We'll discuss the importance of family fun and ways to have more of it this hour, and I hope that we'll have some fun in the process. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest will share some of the many ideas in her new book, What the Fun, some that you can do today, maybe even right now, some you might save for when the kids are out of school for the summer or when you are on your next road trip. When is the last time you had fun as a family? What did you do? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Donna Bazzo. She is a lifestyle expert, a family lifestyle expert. She writes on family lifestyle issues. She's a former reporter and television producer and author of What the Fun, 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. I brought in my giant sunglasses this morning, and I put those on just to get in the mood.
I love it. I love it. Dressing the part can be important, huh?
Well, yeah. And I was inspired by one of the ideas in your book and the photo you have on your book of you with giant sunglasses on. I mean, having family fun is as simple as maybe just dressing up in goofy costumes.
Absolutely. You know, I love props. You know, you put the big sunglasses and the plastic noses and the fake mustaches at their breakfast table and let them, you know, go ahead and have a silly breakfast. Why not?
Yeah. And
start the day with a giggle and a snort.
It was. I certainly gave my producers a giggle when I put them on this morning. And I tagged the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page with that photo. And we'd love to, you know, if you have fun photos that you want to share, you can do that as well on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So what, Donna, inspired you to study fun and ways to cultivate it?
Well, you know, there is so much science behind fun. I mean, we hear forever, you know, the family that plays together stays together. But if you look at the science, I mean, it really increases bonding. I mean, and having fun together creates rich family memories, the stuff you talk about for years. And not only that, it makes us healthier, happier, helps us live longer. There's so many reasons to really up the fun vibe in your home. And it doesn't have to be hard. I find that's the biggest mistake people make. You know, when you start trying to, like, make things fun and put a big effort behind it, you know, you often suck the energy right out of it, you know. Or, you know, you never get around to it because it takes 18 steps to get there.
Yeah.
So the premise of the book is just, you know, finding simple ways to make things fun. Like you said, the sunglasses. I mean, I remember when my little one was young, really young, like 2 or 3, and she'd done something and she was in trouble and her dad was very mad at her and he came in to talk to her and she was in bed wearing sunglasses and he just started laughing.
You can't yell at somebody wearing sunglasses.
That's exactly what he said. You can't yell at somebody wearing sunglasses at night in bed. It's just... So we tried to do that in our home when the girls were young, and we do that now. And I just wanted to share some of the ideas that, you know, I had discovered along the way.
Yeah, and why does it seem that families are having less and less time to have fun nowadays?
Oh, well, Time Magazine's calling, you know, parenting the most competitive sport today. You know, we have our children and a million different activities and lessons, and, you know, we're just this crazy... We're all playing this crazy game, family, you know, and between the grocery shopping and, you know, the violin lessons and, you know, all the trips to the vet, you know, we're just too busy. We're scrambled. We're doing so much. And we're having less of that spontaneity, less of that, you know, that free time where we can actually enjoy each other.
Yeah, so, and you touched on it earlier, but I mean, we lose out if we aren't having fun. This is not healthy if we're not having fun.
Well, it's not healthy, for sure. And then, you know, time passes so quickly. And you hear from parents, you know, oh, I wish I would have tried that when they were little. I mean, there's only certain windows, and they shut quickly, you know. And it's just, you don't want to regret the time that you didn't have enjoying each other as a family.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about the connection between fun and mental well-being.
Well, it makes everybody's spirits better. You know, you know, there's studies, you know, published in the Journal of Happiness that, you know, people who make themselves happy stay happier longer than people who just stumble upon happiness. Say, like, a nice new neighbor moves in and you're happy, but, you know, making yourself happy, figuring out what makes you happy, doing the kind of activities you enjoy, being with the kind of people you enjoy, you create a happiness, a sense of happiness that stays with you longer than just, you know, bumbling through life, you know, and running into happiness.
Yeah. So say one realizes that one's family's fun quotient is way down. What first steps do you recommend to get it back up?
Well, I think you just need to make it a priority. And a priority means, you know, not making it hard, but just trying to find simple ways to create a life is great vibe at home where you're kind of like rolling with the punches and looking for ways to laugh. And you know what? I'll tell you, that is one thing. So if you don't have time for fun, how about funny? You know, look for funny. Funny can be just as great as fun, and it can be a lot faster. So maybe you declare it Practical Joke Week in the house, or you have some running knock-knock jokes left on the memo board in the mudroom before the kids leave. Or I always say just surprise them maybe and write a funny joke on the mirror, the bathroom mirror, and let them wake up with a little bit of a giggle, you know, surprise them. You know, we've been sharing comics, you know, things have been crazy. If you find something funny on Facebook, like a comic, you know, hang that, something that makes everyone laugh. We've even sent a copy to my mother-in-law, and she called laughing like crazy. So look for ways to fold a little bit of funny in your life, in your family's life. That's a good way to start.
Yeah. Do you have a good knock-knock joke for us?
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry. I'll
knew you were going to ask me too early.
It is too early.
Ask me later.
So we'll go into many of the other ideas that you have in What the Fun, 427 ways. Boy, that's a number. 427 ways for families to have more fun. But are there some things to bear in mind before we start trying to up our fun quotient?
Well, you know, I just really do enjoy the science of fun. I just feel like, you know, that is another thing. You know, fun can feel like it's folly. You know, we have so many more important things to do. You know, here we are focusing on fun for our family, and there's dishes to do and bills to pay and, you know, crazy load of other things. But the science of fun is interesting, and it makes you, if you need to have that permission to allow yourself to make it a greater priority in your life and your family's life. You know, one study found the lives of 180 Notre Dame nuns for 5 decades, and they found out the happier nuns, you know, the nuns that described themselves as focusing on joy, they lived as much as 10 years longer. And, you know, according to Psychology Today, creating a happy childhood for your children by doing things, and that's defined as doing things as a family, creating fun traditions, it gives kids a greater sense of social connectedness and an enhanced sense of self and healthy behaviors. So the studies are there. And that's what's interesting in the book. You know, we kind of touch on the studies in the beginning because I think that, you know, we all want to take ourselves very seriously and we want to be important and we want to be good parents. And it just seems like, well, this is such silly work, but it's silly important work for sure.
Yeah. Well, so now there's parents everywhere thinking, I'm inadequate because I'm not giving my kids enough fun. I mean, you don't want them to stress out over this too, do you?
No, if you make it hard, you're going to choke it.
You're going to choke it.
It gets easier. Really, it's addictive.
Yeah, we are talking with Donna Bazzo. She is the author of What the Fun, 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. We will get into some of the 427 ways, and we welcome your questions. We welcome your own recommendations or ways that you try to have fun with your family. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we did post that photo now so you can see my giant sunglasses. By the way, thanks to Marsha Miles Hoffman for giving me those sunglasses. I love those sunglasses. What is your family's current favorite fun activity, Donna?
We love to travel. Now the girls are older. You know, I have 3 teenagers, so traveling has been a big part of our life. And you know, sports have become a big thing, too, watching sports, playing sports, a lot of fun for us. and just enjoying each other's company. You know, we try to eat together as a family as much as possible. And that's something I say in the book, too. You know, there are a lot of studies, and you talk about being stressed out, and, you know, you hear all great things about a family dinner, and not everybody can do that. And that's the last thing you want families to stress out about, is the fact that they just can't schedule family dinner. So in the book, I say, you know, and I've talked about this in my TV segments, too, you know, look for a twist. So if you can't do family dinner, maybe it's family breakfast, or maybe you schedule lunch together on a Saturday, or maybe it's afternoon tea on a Sunday. You know, because if you look at the statistics or the study behind what makes a family dinner impactful to families, it's really only 10 minutes of that time together.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Kerdine. We are talking about ways to up our family fun quotient. Talking with our guest, a family lifestyle expert, Donna Bazo, who is the author of What the Fun, 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. We are welcoming your questions for her. We are also welcoming your own ideas for family fun. What are some fun things, simple fun things that you do with your family? When's the last time you had some fun? What did you do? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Kerdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Kerdine Show. I wanted to ask you, Donna, about the fun print. You say that before starting, we should figure out our own unique fun print. What's a fun print?
Well, a fun print is your unique way of what makes you happy, what makes you have fun. I think it's so easy to fall into the routine of just doing what everybody else thinks should be fun. Maybe your family, you know, you join a tennis club and you find out nobody really likes playing tennis, or you just sort of get in sort of like the rhythm of life of doing what everybody else is doing. But sometimes it doesn't work out. So I think it's nice to just sit back and think about what is it you like to do, like what is it you're doing when you lose time, when you're happy and you're yourself. And that is, you know, your fun print. And nobody has the same fun print. We all have our own unique, prescription of what makes us happy. So I think it's nice. It's okay to have that conversation with your kids. It's okay to think about it as yourself. Like, what is it that you really like to do? And then try to find ways to incorporate that in your busy life.
So that's just a matter of sitting down with the kids or the family around the table and saying, okay, so, you know, we like art, we like science, we like, you know, butterflies, whatever.
And whatever. Or remember when we did this? Well, wasn't this just fantastic? Or what was your favorite thing that we've done together as a family? Or you know, when's the last time that you were doing something all of a sudden, oh my goodness, 3 hours passed by, you didn't realize it? It's great for kids to grow up even thinking about this, because, you know, they'll be adults someday soon, very soon. And it's nice to create this way of teaching your children how to find their own happiness in life. It's a really great skill. I mean, there are schools in Philadelphia that are trying to teach teenagers that now in school. They're trying to, teach them how to create their own happiness in life. It's a very nice skill. The kids can start out very young learning how to do it. They'll make happy adults.
Yeah, I love that. So this will help them learn how to find their own happiness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is also, school is almost out for summer. And mm-hmm. Pretty soon the kids will be saying, I'm bored. There's nothing to do. And this is one of the ways you can haul out your fun print or this book and start doing things.
Right, exactly. I think of this book as just a nice little reference book. So, you know, you have all these ideas, 427 ideas on the ready. Either you use it as a reference book and you say, oh my goodness, we have some time today, or the kids are bored, or it's a whole full summer day, what are we going to do? Yikes. And you can just kind of find a couple ideas that work for you, or read through it and just kind of keep those things in mind for the next time you have some free time.
Yeah, I'm thinking of road trips. I just got back from a road trip. My husband and I did a almost 2,500-mile road trip. We went in a big circle around the Midwest, down south, and back up to Wisconsin. We didn't have to necessarily play the alphabet game with the road signs, but you have some road trip games to play here.
Oh, your trip sounds fantastic. I love a road trip. And, you know, my big trick, too, this is something that we try now, is we try to loop our travel. It kind of doubles our fun. We go somewhere and then we come back a different way. And that's kind of neat. I love that. Lots of ways to keep your kids entertained or just keep having fun on the road. I love a treasure map. We've done this. We used to do this a lot when my girls were little. Everyone got a clipboard with their own little map, and you had things to find on your trip. I mean, it could be, you know, for little ones, you know, spot a New York cab or an I Heart t-shirt if you're in New York City, say. But it could be also just, you know, what's the capital of the states we're visiting? I mean, you can use it as teaching moments, which is really fantastic. Little ones also love backseat bingo, where you can take cookie sheets and you can put some felt on it and make squares and get some magnets. Magnets are perfect because they don't slip off the tray. And you go ahead and put stickers or draw pictures of things for them to find along the way, and they get three across. They, you know, they obviously call out bingo, and that can be a lot of fun, too. Older kids love making movies. iPhones make it so easy now. Making movies along the way, like, why not create a family movie, you know, family video, lip syncing, you know, whatever it is, while you're on your trip. And the nice thing about that is once you get home, you have something you can do together, putting it together, you know, like using a simple editing system. But then you have, you know, a really nice memento and a nice video to remember your good time together.
I'm trying to remember. I think you encouraged having a radio show on a road trip, too.
Sure, I think that's a lot of fun. Why not?
So sort of like you
that
could
be... That would be one of your favorites for sure, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna get some kids to put them in the backseat just to do that.
Yeah, exactly. The point is, you know, just making it simple. Like, why not pretend you're on the radio?
And so what are they saying, though? Just sort of, here we are in Maine, or, I mean...
Right, and learning facts. So maybe you're talking about something you did today. Today we were in Lincoln's boyhood home, and this is what we learned. And you know what I mean? And just going ahead and encouraging the silly play.
And I was going to ask, too, if you mentioned use the iPhone, make a video or whatever. I was going to say, I'm imagining, especially little older kids, just, you know, being absorbed in their technology in the back seat and not wanting to engage in the family fun. You're saying use the technology in the family fun.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know, go ahead and fold that into the fun. You know, teens can be tricky. So I think that is a great idea. And, you know, we have a little portable projector, and you can go ahead and even like play it. You know, if you're putting it together during the vacation, maybe it's something that you guys play on the way home. You know, you just put a piece of white paper against the back seat. You have an instant screen.
We have Sarah in Delavan joining us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning. What's your fun idea?
So I have a 4-year-old and 5-year-old boy, and my husband and I both work, so it is hard to implement these ideas of fun during the day. But I've noticed when I put the kids in the car, I have them sitting in the back seat, and I'll let them tell me, should I go right or left or straight? And I'll take silly ways and wrong ways to their school. And they're like, Mom, where are you going? Or I'll do a quick little donut circle in a driveway or a parking lot, and they just think that is the funnest thing ever.
Oh,
I love that. And it's simple.
Yeah.
Like, yes. You don't have
no
to bring
planning,
along.
No involved. Yes.
So I love that, Sarah. And that's something they're going to remember. They're going to talk about that when they're teenagers. They're going to remember our silly rides to school.
Yeah.
The other idea I've done with this student with my kids is letterboxing. And that is a cheap, easy way to, one, kind of find different adventures and different sites within the local area. It's similar to geocaching, but letterboxing is free, and you just go to atlasquest.com.
And I'm check that out.
I'm going to check it out, too, but I'm still trying to figure out, Sarah, what is the point of the letterboxing?
So when you find a letterbox, inside of the box is a hand-carved stamp. And you stamp your own stamp into the journal that's in the location, and vice versa. So the boys and I each have their own journal for each letterbox. or we have our own journal for each kid, and so they are able to stamp the stamp into their own journal, and then you can journal the city or the location. But it's just an easy, cheap way, especially when you're road tripping or traveling, to kind of get off the beaten path and find a treasure in a cemetery or in a park.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's so clever.
I do, too. Thank you very much, Sarah, for sharing that. And you talked about various treasure map or scavenger hunt things as some of the ideas, too, Donna.
I do. I love a neighborhood scavenger hunt, you know, especially when last week we had a whole house full of girls over, and they went and with their clipboards. I wrote a little easy list, and they hit houses, and, you know, the first team who gets all the cans of corns and the paper clips and the Christmas ornaments that you list out on the clipboard wins, and you don't have to take everyone's heirlooms anymore, because now most of the kids have phones, or you can send them with instant cameras. They take pictures of the things, but talk about instant fun. And also, I love a selfie scavenger hunt. This is something I've talked about, especially with teens. Go ahead and challenge them to come up with some creative selfies in different locations that they can go to. So maybe it's a pyramid on the school football field, or, you know, a picture with the mailman, or whatever, and have them collect all these fun selfies. Because like you said, Joy, if you can't beat them, why not join them? Why not fold that technology that they're always playing with anyway and make it interactive, make it create a memory?
Oh, I love that, too. I really do. And taking when we're on our road trip, and now we aren't kids, but it's good for adults, too, to have fun. We took fun poses at various landmarks, you know, that kind of thing. And now we have memories of here we are at, the Football Hall of Fame or whatever, and in doing some goofy poses at those places.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is important for all of us, for us adults, too, to have fun, not only because, you know, fun is fun, of course, and all the rest of the benefits we talked about, but you're modeling that for your kids. Your kids love to see you have a good time. I mean, kids want to see you at your lightest, at your funnest, as your most real self, not you as your frustrated, I'm running late, you know, I got to get this done kind of self. I mean, everybody benefits when we create a little bit of fun in our life.
Donna Bazzo is our guest. She is the author of What the Fun, 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. We're sharing some of the ideas, and I hope you will share some of your fun ideas with us as well. Our number is 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What activities, what games put you and your family in a playful mood? Do you have some road trip games, perhaps? We're talking about road trip games or other fun things you might want to do this summer when the kids are home from school. Dennis in Appleton is with us next. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Years ago, we took a trip to Yellowstone with the kids, and we got each of them a notebook, so they could kind of keep their own diary and write down things they thought were interesting. And it kept them occupied. And now, years later, they look back and it's great memories. So, and when I was a child, the one thing you never, ever did was utter the words, "I'm bored," in the summer, because Mom would have you cleaning something.
Oh, I love the notebooks. That's priceless today in two ways. That's so fantastic.
I do, too. Thank you, Dennis. Yeah. Journal the trip. You'd mentioned the selfies on various things. Other ways?
Sure.
Are there any other ways to make, family fun,
sure,
memorable?
Well, you know, we keep talking about the road trip, but, you know, like Dennis said, to play off of that, I love creating a vacation time capsule where you're collecting things along the trip that you might want to save, you know, and then putting them all in a time capsule together that you can either, you know, go ahead and store for a later time, or, you know, I love time capsules that you can make piñatas. I suggest this, too, on New Year's, too. You know, if you put in everything from the trip or fun things from the year, you know, like report cards or, you know, like ribbons the kids might have won, like just things that remind you of the year, and put them in a piñata, and, you know, put in a little candy and some prizes in there, too, and go ahead and on New Year's Eve break out of the old year and break into the new. And that's something you can do with the vacation, too. Maybe you come home and break into that time capsule as a piñata.
Dennis cracked me up because my mom always used to make us do chores all the time. But, you know, what kids have to do chores, too, sometimes. Is there any way to make chores fun?
Well, music always helps.
Yeah.
Lots of dancing. Chores are chores, and, you know, that's the other thing. You can't fill every second of time with fun, you know, but it's just looking for ways to make everything a little bit more fun. So maybe it's a contest, you know, who can finish their chores first. Maybe it's, you know, this is something I've heard of a lot of parents, and I love that you have everyone calling in, because I think we're all in this together, and that's the best thing, is for us to share stories as parents, because then you go, oh my God, that's a great idea, I'm trying that, it's so wonderful. But I've heard of parents who do sort of a scavenger hunt to get ready for bed. Like, when you find your toothbrush, you have to brush your teeth. When you find your pajamas, you have to, and make it a game.
Yeah.
This is great for little ones who don't like to go to sleep.
And I also liked you like to go camping in your living room. It's just cute. It's really, especially no mosquitoes in the living room.
No mosquitoes. And talk about a big time. When the girls were young and my husband would travel for work, we used to call it going to the mattresses, because I would literally pull our mattresses off the bed and I would plunk them down on the living room floor, and they would spend all this time setting up their little camp with their favorite stuffed animals and their books to read, and they'd have their pajamas on the ready, and they just would giggle the whole time. They loved setting up their own little space in the living room, and we would roast hot dogs for dinner in our fireplace and marshmallows for dessert, and just really have a great time. And we all would sleep there under the glow-in-the-dark stars. We would hang, and it was like camping to them. And, you know, a lot of times it was during the winter when you couldn't even think of camping, and it's something they still talk about today.
Yeah.
And that's what Dennis was saying. Like, when they still talk about it when they get older, then you feel like, wow, I'm so glad I took the time to do that with them.
Yeah, and you, here's a cute idea, having dinner under the dining room table.
Can't get more simple than that, and more fun for little ones. Set the table down under, you know, put the plates and the forks and the napkins under the dining room table tonight, and go ahead and have dinner under the dining room table. Couldn't be more simple, but very memorable for little ones.
And maybe you can put down under the dining room table some funny placemats that you have created. Don't you have crafting things?
I love that. So, yeah, so, you know, when we talked about when there's no time for fun, reach for funny. I love a funny placemat to get the day started, but great at dinner, too. So go ahead and you can get all those funny cartoons and jokes and arrange them, and you can have them laminated, or you could just use contact paper and make your own placemat. And even like when we were talking about the carpooling, so, you know, go ahead, you know, those joke of the day calendars, Velcro one to your dashboard. So when you're driving to school, and, you know, use Sarah's idea in a silly way where her kids are, you know, directing you to go crazy ways, you know, maybe every day it's another child's turn to pull the joke of the day and read the joke to the carpool or the car. And, you know, that's not hard. That doesn't take long, but that's something the kids look forward to, and it's something that, you know, create a few laughs in your day.
Yeah. What if you have family members of many different ages? You have, you know, maybe you have grandma there as well as a toddler as well as a teen.
Sure, and I talk about intergenerational fun in the book, too. You know, there are a lot of things you can do. You know, if grandma has some fantastic family recipes, why not, when she comes over, why not create them with the kids? I mean, there's a lot of reasons to do this. Teaching the kids how to make family recipes is, you know, priceless in its own right. But a lot of fun, or maybe even turn it into a cooking show where somebody's, you know, videotaping on the phone or taking pictures and sharing it, and or create a cookbook out of it. You know, lots of fun for that. I talk about the game, you know, This Is Your Life, Grandma's, where you can kind of play a game where you sort of go over, you know, some of the fun family stories that your grandparents have shared with you, or encourage them to share them with you, because studies show that children who have a really strong sense of inner, you know, a really strong intergenerational self have greater self-esteem. They love to hear those family stories. They want to know where they came from.
Yeah.
So look for ways to incorporate those old family stories into you know, your day, and make it more rich and fun.
Donna Bazzo is the author of What the Fun, 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. We are talking about why we should have more fun as a family, and some of the things we can do. And we're welcoming your suggestions, too, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. are talking about having fun this hour. We are talking with Donna Bazzo, who is a family lifestyle expert. She's a former reporter, television producer, and author of the new book, What the Fun? 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. And we wonder how you have fun. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And if you go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, you will see a goofy picture that I posted of myself in our giant sunglasses, a pair of giant sunglasses that I have. It's just one of the very simple things you can do. You can dress up in goofy costumes, have a themed party of some sort. And you know, Donna, that's one of my favorite ideas that I saw. You said have a moon party, like during a full moon or a blue moon or the anniversary of the moon landing. Just have a moon party. Talk about what we can do at a moon party.
I think, yeah, the premise is, you know, it doesn't have to be Christmas to be fun. Look for fun things to celebrate all year long. So whether it's Elvis's birthday or I love a full moon party where you go ahead and, you know, celebrate that next full moon. And maybe it's, you know, moon cakes and you can make moon crafts and you could go watch the moon and draw the moon. There's a lot of things you can do with that. But, you know, I think the point is just to make, you know, to blow out those little things, too. Find reasons to celebrate, like a full moon party, for sure. And great to do on a summer night. You know, summer can be simple fun. You know, there's a lot of fun things that are really great to do that are really easy.
Yeah, I remember doing things, and I know because it sounds like my dad here. I remember when I was a kid.
wasn't that long ago.
It could be fun just counting fireflies, you know, or you know, seeing them, you know, light up and that kind of thing. Just being outside and the sights and sounds of being outdoors.
Sure. Go ahead and catch, you know, fire flies, you know, put them in mason jars with a little bit of tool on top and have fun catching and releasing. Or, you know, send them on a bug hunt. This is fantastic, you know. You know, you can even put out a few little plastic bugs, but they end up finding some real ones, spawning real ones, too. Or when my girls were little, they'd go on a little flashlight walk in their pajamas. I mean, imagine going around the neighborhood in your pajamas on a flashlight. Little headlights are fun, too. Oh, you know, those little headlights.
I love that.
All they need to do is spot a tree frog in the tree, and it's a big deal. Like, it's a lot of fun. Or just look for simple ways to spend time together. Maybe it's berry picking one day where you go and pick berries this summer with the kids. I mean, when's the last time people do that? And then go ahead and make jam together. We talked about ways to fold in other family members. Maybe there's an aunt who loves to make jam. Invite her over and teach the kids how to make jam. That's a lost art and a lot of fun.
Oh, what a great idea. And you could put those blueberries in your pancakes, too, and then, you know, make Mickey Mouse shapes out of your pancakes or something.
Oh, sure. And when the kids find out that fruit doesn't actually come from the grocery store, what a nice message. What a nice learning opportunity.
Let's go to John in Boaz, who's with us. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I suggest water sports because we're lucky here in Wisconsin. We don't have to go very far at all to have water sports, and it's going to be real hot and muggy pretty soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, what about going swimming or kayaking or canoeing and that sort of thing, Donna?
Total fun. I think that's a great idea. What a way to spend the summer together.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Teal on Facebook who says, every summer my kids and I create a summer bucket list. It can have all sorts of things on it. One year my daughter said she wanted to learn how to tie her shoes, so we put that on the bucket list. This summer my girlfriends and I decided we are going to do a park tour. We are going to pack up our kids in the car and each week visit a few different parks around our area. We will take a picture at each park and have our kids rate which parks are the best and why. How is that for a great idea?
Oh my God, that's an amazing idea. And I have a friend who they come up with names for their parks, too, so maybe they can add that in their contest where they come up with clever names for those little parks. I love that idea. Bucket lists are great. We like to put our bucket lists, all the things that we want to do that summer, in a bucket. You know, go ahead and get one of those plastic sand buckets, and, you know, you can just when you have that day together, draw out what you're doing that day. And I also like to remind people, how about a half summer bucket list? You know, when all of a sudden the crunch is on and you're realizing 4th of July has passed and there's only 3 more weeks till the school comes together, go ahead and whittle down all those things that you really want to do. Because time is fleeting, and it seems like fun is easy, and if it always feels like we're going to fit it in, but that's always the issue. There's never enough time, right?
Well, I like that. That's a great. So maybe you can create that summer bucket list again with the kids, and you can write down the things. These are some of the things, you know, we want to do this summer, and everybody can share in putting those together, and then truly just pull one out one day when you're able to.
I think it's great because then you make it on your list. You make it on your list, and if you don't, that's the worst, is when summer's passed you by and said, oh, we were going to go to the water park, or we were going to go do this. And, you know, what about that we were going to put a message in the bottle and send it off to sea? And all these, you know, you have all these good intentions. I suggest in the book, this is an idea a friend of mine uses, but around the holidays, it's the same thing. Holidays get so bustling, and there's so many things that you want to do with your kids to create fun, rich memories, and a lot of times, you know, the season passes you by. She gets the Advent calendars, and instead of putting candy in it, each day she puts an activity in it that they're going to do together. So it could be as simple as wrapping presents together after school, or maybe it's, you know, tickets to the Nutcracker. You know, they're all different scales on the little activities. But she said the kids can't wait to wake up in the morning, and they take turns opening up that day's Advent calendar and finding out what they're going to do, what holiday activity they're going to do together. It could be baking Christmas cookies that day.
We are talking about fun things to do with our family. And we're wondering what fun things you are looking forward to doing with your family today. How about this summer? Do you have a summer bucket list? What are some of the things on your bucket list? What are some of the simple fun things you do, maybe just on a regular basis, just to kind of break up the daily routine? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You have a chapter in the book devoted to avoiding no fun zones. Donna, what exactly is a no fun zone, and how do we stay clear of it?
Well, I just think that if there are things that are built into your life that you're not enjoying, try to find a way to create a way around it. You know, we can like take a different way to school, take a different train if all of a sudden you feel like you're kind of stuck with some energy zapping people and that kind of thing. Like really just being strategic and protective about your day and finding ways to, you know, up your happiness quotient. Also, you know, we talk about fun, and you talked about non-fun zones. I wanted to mention, too, creating fun zones in your home. You know, I think it's important to have fun on the ready, and I hope that's what this book does because it offers all these turnkey ideas for people. But I love the idea of creating fun zones in your home, places that are absolutely set up for fun. I mean, it could be an art room and, you know, the messiest part of your basement. It could be a science lab where the mess doesn't matter. You know, you have everything out where the kids can experiment when you have a few minutes or an hour. It could be jam space in the garage where teenagers can, you know, play instruments, where you have like instruments set up and they can sing and you can have a microphone. It could be anything, but it could be, you know, a fun game room where puzzles can stay out forever, where they don't need to be cleaned up. I think it's great to create spaces in your house designated for fun. They don't have to be big spaces, but then they're on the ready. The kids know that they can play there. You can hang out with them. They can have friends over to enjoy that space. I think it's a neat idea.
Yeah. We're talking about how this is so good for our children's well-being. It's good for our well-being, too. I know that we've done some shows on how play as adults can make us more creative and more productive at work and all sorts of things. So it's good for adults, too.
Absolutely. And it's good for them to see you enjoying time with your children. They want to see you light. They want to see you happy. And, mm-hmm. You know, you're not creating the memories for them if you're not a part of it.
Yeah. And you also point out that fun is not necessarily all self-indulgent. There are ways to have fun and do good in the world.
Sure. Surprise a neighbor on her birthday with a birthday cake. We've done that in our neighborhood for our neighbor when she turned 90. You know, we had the kids parade up to her house sing happy birthday to her right on her front porch. Teach the kids, you know, to do things for others. That's always fun. You know, pick wildflowers this summer. We talked about getting them outside and doing simple things. Or maybe it's that strawberry jam you just made with Auntie. And, you know, maybe you deliver that, leave that anonymously on a neighbor's door, deliver it to a nursing home. There's a lot of ways that you can find good fun where you're kind of doing good and having good fun.
And Rana in Rice Lake is with us. Hi, Rana.
Hi, Joey. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
One of the things that we like to do, we've done for quite a while now, is we have a nice marsh, swampy area by our house, and it's full of spring peepers, and it's just a lovely place. Every spring, everybody puts on their muck boots, and we go down and we carefully walk along the edge of the marsh swamp to see what we can see, insects and bugs and frogs and all kinds of great things. And I was telling your screener, the best part is when my husband carries one of the grandkids on his back and they both fall in.
Oh.
And then everybody just laughs and it's full of mud.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. And I do talk about that dirty fun. It can be the best kind of fun, right?
Yeah, it sure can.
We've done the marsh trips and to look for tadpoles. Now, we didn't have as much luck finding tadpoles in our marsh, but I suggest this also in the book. You know, one summer we went ahead and ordered those tadpoles. You can find them on eBay. They came in a really big batch, so we shared them with lots of families in town, and the kids were raising frogs together that summer, and it was really fun.
That would be a blast, yeah.
They were like, did you get legs wet? Yeah, do you still have the tail? Like, and it's a great science experiment. It's a great learning lesson.
So what do you recommend in our final, we just have 1 minute to go, what can a family do today to put more fun in their life?
Well, I say, you know, what about having dinner under that dining room table tonight? I think it can't get more simple than that. We talked about that already, but even in the summer, it'll be like dinner on the front porch, you know, all the water we talked about, maybe it's a picnic at the lake. You know, find fun ways to enjoy that dinner together.
Thank you so much for being with us. This has been a fun hour.
Thank you so much. Have a fun day. Family fun on.
Donna Bazzo is the author of What the Fun? 427 Simple Ways to Have Fantastic Family Fun. Thank you to producers Marika Suval, Nyasia Ellison, and Brianne Shasso. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we'll have something fun to talk about. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.